I think God really loves me and us. Not only do I get to see snow, I get to have church with people I love while I see snow. How? That is awesome. So I commend you. Way to get out of the house in the middle of snow. So today is a special Sunday. Last Sunday was a wonderful time together. If you were in second service, we had a baptism. We baptized four people, four ladies. The two older ladies, when they were baptized, gave a wonderful testimony of God at work in their life and transforming them. And then when the two younger ladies, Hannah and Baylin, were asked, why do you want to be baptized? Here's what they said. They said, God commands us to. I want to obey God. I am going to remember that forever. Like, you would remember today's message more than any other message if I just stopped right there. God's word commands us to. I want to. I want to obey God. So this morning, more than anything, I want us to know what God commands us to do, and I want us to have hearts that obey him. Help us, Lord. Okay, so we've been doing a series called The Upside Down Kingdom of God, and today is one of those Sundays that's in between two series. We're going to start a 6 or 7 week series next week called The Life You've Always Wanted. You just come to church and you get the life you've always wanted. Okay, so that's where we're going. We just finished up the Upside Down Kingdom. In between, we have these Sundays where we do special things, and the preacher gets to speak whatever the Spirit leads. It's the golden ticket. It's freedom. So I get to share some things, and we're going to look some more at a kingdom principle. And the kingdom principle, I'm calling it growing by going. So you know the mission here at Grace Covenant Church is to love big and to grow deep and to go out. And I'm going to share about how all through scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, the theme that we see is God says go. God sends his people. People, God is on the move. He has a mission, and he sends his people on mission with him. So, we're gonna start by looking at some of Jesus' words. This is after his resurrection. He's encouraging his disciples. He says, Jesus came and he told his disciples this, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. This is Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. There's Hannah and Baylin's. Teach them to obey all that I've commanded you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am with you always. What a promise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this time together in your presence. Fulfill your purposes in our lives today. Let your word teach us and let us have hearts that obey. In Jesus' name, amen. So this could be not only a whole message, these three verses, it could be a whole series in itself. We're not going to do that. I just want to draw out the few things that are highlighted there. He says, I have all authority, therefore go and make disciples. Jesus went. He left heaven. He came to earth. He made disciples. And he says, now you go and make disciples. You do what I've done. That's his directive. And he makes this incredible promise, I'm with you always. Be sure of this. I am with you always. Let's look. This is Matthew's account of Jesus's, after his resurrection, encouragement to his disciples. Here's John's account. This is John chapter 20. This again is the resurrected Jesus with his disciples speaking to them. He says, the Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. As the Father has sent Jesus, so he sends you. So he sends us. Jesus sends us. Jesus loves us. Jesus is with us always. Jesus sends us. Let's say that. Jesus loves us. Jesus is always with us. Jesus sends us. Are you good with that? Jesus sending you? Jesus is sending you to your neighbor, to your family members, to your coworkers, to your suite mates, to your classmates. Jesus is sending you with the good news of what he's done in your life. He says, I love you, I'm with you, I'm sending you. That's the theme all through Scripture. I am with you. I'm sending you. Go. Go, go. I want to just give a few other people's commissioning. In Genesis 12, God says to Abram, he says, leave your native country, leave your relatives, leave your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. Leave what you're familiar with and go where I'm sending you. And the call on Abraham's life was, I'm going to bless you to bless others. I'm going to bless you to bless the nations. That's the same call on our lives. God is blessing us to bless others, to bless the nations. Go where I show you. Moses, his call, Exodus 33. The Lord said to Moses, get going, you and the people you brought up from the land of Egypt. Go up to the land I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I told them I will give this land to your descendants. Moses is called from being a shepherd to go deliver the people of Israel. And then as the people came out of Egypt, he was called to go and take them into Canaan, into the promised land. Go. Isaiah, there's a wonderful worship account in Isaiah chapter 6, and Isaiah says, I hear the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here I am, send me. And the Lord said, yes, go and say to the people. God is constantly showing us his love. He's constantly calling us to go with the message of good news to his people. I could go on and list Esther and Samuel and Ruth and David and Elijah and Nehemiah and John the Baptist, and all through Scripture, people who walk with God are sent. They receive a call to go. Here's the really familiar verse in John chapter 3. It says this, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Jesus will not perish but have eternal life. Verse 17, God sent his Son into the world, not to judge it, but to save the world through him. God so loved you, and God so loved me. God so loved us that he sent Jesus. And God so loves the world that he sends you and me. If we're going to be transformed into Christ-likeness, we will go. We will be sent as well. Okay, are we getting it? God loves us. God is always with us. God sends us. I'm tricking you into saying these things. All right, I want to move now to what are some really favorite passages for me. And it's in the story of Joshua. You can go to Joshua chapter 1 if you like. I'm going to put up three passages from Joshua, and I just want to use them as a way for us to get a few keys on how to go as God is sending us, okay? So there's a story, and it's a really long story. All of the book of Exodus is the story. And the story is of this people, Israel, who are in slavery in the land of Egypt, and they cry out to God in their oppression, saying, save us, deliver us. And so God sends someone to be their deliverer, Moses and his brother Aaron. And then they leave Egypt. That in itself is like a dozen chapters in Exodus, just getting out of Egypt. Then they cross the Red Sea. He splits the sea and they walk right through it. We sang that this morning. When we sing these songs, part of it stirs our hearts so much because it's scripture. It's story of what actually happened for God's people. And God did that for them. He would do that and more for us. So he delivers them miraculously. They come out of bondage, out of slavery, out of Egypt, and then they make this journey. And this journey should have been a couple weeks, but it ends up being 40 years. That's a really long story and a really long time. And it ends up being 40 years instead of a couple weeks because they didn't obey the command of God. What a setup. Thank you, Hannah and Baylin. God's word commands us to, I want to obey God. Well, the people of Israel got scared, and they disobeyed God, and a two-week trip turned into 40 years. That right there is a whole sermon. God's purposes is still fulfilled in our lives. Do you want it weeks or years, church? Wow. So in this story, as they're delivered and they take a journey of wandering for years because they're scared of what's in front of them, a whole generation dies in the desert, in the wilderness, while they wander. And then they're on the banks of the Jordan River and they're ready to go into the promised land 40 years later, Caleb and Joshua being the two young men who are now old men who get to go in. And this is where we pick up the story. Moses and the Lord have encouraged Joshua, go in and fulfill the purpose that I had for all of these years. Lead the people into their destiny. And so we're going to read this passage, three verses here, Joshua 1, verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors and I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We've seen that. The Lord is with you wherever you are. That's what Jesus was declaring to the disciples. Here it is in God's word being declared to Joshua. God is with you wherever you go. God is with you wherever you go this week, Grace Covenant Church. God loves you. God's with you. God sends you wherever you go. He's with you. Okay. So this is one of the keys I want us to get from God's word. When God is sending us, he will encourage us. That's really encouraging, right? Wave at me, JJ. Is Becca in the house? See, now Becca's like, oh man, Merle is looking for me, and where am I? There she is. Hi, there's the fam. Okay, so here's God's word to you, JJ and Becca. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. He's going to be with you wherever you go, if you embrace his word and meditate on it day and night. Hang on to his word. I was just reading in Isaiah during worship. There's this wonderful passage. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and water the earth, so shall be my word. It will not return empty. It will accomplish everything I purpose it to do. This is beautiful. We have rain and snow coming down from heaven. We can't figure out which one it is. This is the most literal fulfillment of Scripture I've seen in a while. Rain and snow coming down. So shall be his word. Be strong. Be courageous. Do not fear. I am with you wherever you go. Where's the launch team? Launch team wearing your uniforms this morning? Got them t-shirts on. Launch team, be strong and be courageous. Do not fear. The Lord is with you. The Lord loves you. He will always be with you. Embrace his word. Don't let it depart from your heart. Meditate on it day and night. So the first key that I get out of this wonderful story is God encourages us when he sends us. Here's another key. This one takes a little more of the story to grasp. So we're just going to read these two verses and then I'll contextualize it for you. He goes on and says later in chapter 1, your wives, children, and livestock may remain here in the land Moses assigned to you on the east side of the Jordan River. But your strong warriors, fully armed, must lead the other tribes across the Jordan to help them conquer their territory. Stay with them until the Lord gives them rest as he has given you rest, and until they too possess the land the Lord your God is giving them. Only then may you return and settle here on the east side of the Jordan River in the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, assigned to you. Okay, so here's the key. The word's not in here anywhere, but the second key, key number one is encouragement, key number two is unity. So what's the story? So what's going on here is that the people of Israel who left Egypt were in 12 tribes. There were 12 sons, and there were 12 tribes of people. And as they left Egypt and left slavery and bondage behind them and wandered around the desert, these 12 tribes of Israel were banked, camped on the east side of the Jordan River, and a few of these tribes said to Moses, hey, look, this is amazing pasture land. This is an amazing place along the river to settle. We want this for our inheritance. So three of the 12 tribes said, this is good with us. Let us stay here. We want to stay. And the other 9 tribes were going in to possess the land. So some of the people of Israel were staying and some were going. Oh, that sounds like something we're experiencing. Some of us are staying and some of us are going. And the ones who stay, he directs them, you don't get to rest until the possession of the land has been fulfilled by those who are going. You're together. You support them. You actually not only support them, encourage them, pray for them, financially support, you lead the way with your best warriors. You go take the front line on their behalf. So some of us are staying and some of us are going. I just want to say really clear, the ones who are going aren't super Christians and the ones who are staying aren't weakling Christians. Okay? The ones who are going were called to go. The ones who are staying were called to stay. We all are being faithful to God's command. And so we stay unified. I just want to correct Catherine. She said everything that she said was really wonderful this morning. But as lead pastor, it's fun to correct your staff once in a while. So there will be a body of Grace Covenant here, and there will be the same body of Grace Covenant Church at Spotswood. It will be one body because we're together. We'll meet in different locations, but we will be one body. Thanks for that setup, Catherine. One body, unified, supporting. we're going to support. If we are staying here, we're called to stay. If we're going, we're called to go. Either way, we're obeying the Lord, and we are unified, and we are one. And we're fulfilling the call of God on our lives. I find it amazing, as I was rehearsing this story, the 12 tribes of Israel were a really fruitful people. That's what was overwhelming Egypt and why they subdued them into slavery. They were prolific multipliers. They had more than 30 children dedicated in 1 year, these people of Israel. That's kind of our high water mark. But when you look at the census they took, there were over 600,000 men of fighting age. There were over 2 million people when you count the women and children. They spent 3 days on the banks of the Jordan River on the east side, preparing to go in and take the land. This is where we're at. I figure if Joshua can spend 3 days preparing 2 million plus people to get into the promised land, the year we spent preparing getting into Spotswood High School ought to be sufficient. Do you think? Yes. Amen. I love when my impatience finds a affirmation in Scripture. Do you see how I just made Scripture support my position? That's not good, by the way. Forgive me, Lord. But I do find encouragement. We have prayed, we have planned, we have prepared, we have prayed, we have planned, we have prepared. And who knew we would have a snow Sunday on the day that would be our kind of launching the team out. Sending, we're going to commission them in prayer here in a moment. I'm doing good. Here's the third key in this passage. So first key is encouragement. Be strong. Be courageous. I am with you. Don't be afraid. Meditate on this word of God day and night. So encouragement. Second one is unity. Whether we go or whether we stay, we are together and we're fulfilling God's purposes, all right? Here's the third one. Let's read this. This is in chapter 3. It says, when you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your positions. Move out from your positions and follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. Then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. Verse 4, since you've never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Do you know that we've never planted a location of Grace Covenant Church before? We haven't. I know this. You're kind of looking at me, so, and this is inspiring how, Merle? The people of Israel had followed the Lord in a particular way for 40 years in the desert. There was this phenomenal pillar of fire at night that you couldn't miss for miles. For miles, the pillar of fire was visible. And when it moved, you knew things were happening and you could follow it. Do you know it's easy to follow a pillar of fire at night? When a full moon happens and we see it, that's pretty easy to see. This pillar of fire was more visible, I'm sure, than the moon. So for 40 years, they followed this pillar of fire at night, and they followed this pillar of cloud by day. It was really obvious where God's presence was. Okay? For 40 years. For 40 years, they would walk outside of their tent in the morning, and during the nighttime, just as dew hits the ground, there would be manna on the ground. This funny stuff that was what was their food and nourishment for 40 days. Walk outside my tent, collect a little manna, grind it, make cakes out of it, food. 40 years. For 40 years, they... Now, this is really going to bother some of you. For 40 years, they had the same sandals and the same clothing because it never wore out. A few of you are thinking, cool, could I have some of that? And a few are like saying, lame, I would never want that. Whichever way it is, they did not have to worry about what they were wearing for 40 years. It didn't wear out. That's amazing. Now, everything changes in those regards. They're going to have to start taking goatskin, sheepskin, and making sandals again as they enter the promised land. They're going to have to take the animals and they're going to have to make clothing. For 40 years, nobody made clothing. I can't even comprehend this. This, you know, we get stories sometimes and they're like, yeah, that's an interesting detail. That's a life change. They no longer walked out of their tent and gathered manna right around their tent. They had to harvest the fruit of the, they had to gather grapes, olives. They had to go out and making dinner easily doubled for every one of them. For all of you really full life, getting everything done people, can you imagine taking your schedule as it is right now and doubling all of your food preparation time? For some of you, you're like, no problem. I just buy my food every day, 3 meals a day. Just McDonald's, McDonald's, McDonald's. I'm sorry. Just making your own clothes, just gathering your own food was a total life change. And now there's no more cloud by day and pillar of fire at night. I'm following these priests who are carrying the ark. And when they pick up the ark and carry it, we get up and move. Verse says here, since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Do you know the priests who are carrying the ark had never been that way before either? Are you encouraged right now? It was a whole new way of trusting God and walking out in faith. It wasn't obvious to everyone. It was real obvious to people that Moses was getting his directions right because there was the cloud. He just followed the cloud in front of him. Now, the priests are picking up the ark, the presence of God, and they're carrying it, and we're supposed to follow them. Well, how do they know where to go? Do you see how different their life became overnight? Some of you are getting it. Some of you are like, just move on, Merle. We've never done what we're about to do before. Hallelujah. It's going to take a lot of faith and a lot of trust. But God has spoken. Don't be afraid. I am so excited. God loves people so much that he's sending some of the best people in our midst to go start a new thing so that people will have access to who God is and how much he loves them. See, in the world, in the kingdoms of this world, if you get a really precious commodity, if you have a really sharp leader, you know what you do? You hang on to them. But in the kingdom of God, when you have amazing people, you release them and you say, go. Fulfill the purpose of God in your life. Quick story, then we're going to have some great time of prayer. So, back in the 90s, Dick Blackwell, way better, founding pastor. Dick? Mid-90s, Dick felt God calling him to step to the side and release the church to younger leaders. So we had the first succession of the church, and Robert took Dick's place. In the space of 18 months in 96, Robert took over as leader. The administrator of this church moved on to another vocation. One of the full-time pastors moved out of this church and started a home church. The most fruitful small group leaders who had the largest small group, wasn't Mike and Marilyn's small group the largest one? They went and were sent to Mexico to do 15 years of mission. Another small group leader who is my best man in my wedding, Jeff Martin, he and his wife took couples down to Richmond and planted a church. Dick was meeting with a small group of people in Stanton that turned into 60 people, and Steve Paulus left Croatia and came back and planted Stanton Grace Covenant Church. In the space of 18 months, Stanton Grace Covenant Church was planted. Over 70 people left this church. Grace Church of Richmond was planted. That was about 8 or 10 people. A full-time pastor, a part-time pastor, an administrator left this church to pursue their things. We had so much leadership transition in the space of 18 months, people's head was spinning. And you know what happened? We all grew. We all grew because people went. And God built his church. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. When God is on the move, he sends people and he'll send the best people. And you'll look around and say, I really miss them. We do. It's okay, church, to say, I liked that. I missed that. It's okay to be sad. But keep your eyes on Jesus and what he's called us to do. I think that was a season of the most transition I've ever seen in church. And it opened up doors for people at home base to step up and do things they had never done before. It was in that window of time that God called me to be administrator of this church. And over the course of years, I learned how to do everything around here. I had an opportunity because a whole bunch of people went. A whole bunch of people are going right now, and there's some new opportunity for a bunch of us who stay. Move out. As people move out, other people move up. It's good. It's important. It's God's purpose. Okay, we're going to do something. Let me just coach you here. We're going to have JJ and Becca and their three beautiful kids come up here on the platform, and we're going to pray over them, and we're going to commission them in front of the body to do the thing that God has called them to do. And then we're going to spread the love, and we're going to get the whole launch team down here in a Holy Ghost huddle. And then all of you who are here in this room, we're going to gather around them. So nobody's going to be in their seats when we conclude this, because we're all going to be praying and blessing those who are going. Okay? So we're all going to get to participate in this. Now, there's even a example of how to do this in Scripture. There's this, Acts is all about people going in response to God's move on their life. So here's just a couple verses, Acts 13. It says, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius, the Cyrene, Mandian. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and they sent them off. There's a wonderful little format for what we're about to do. So I'll take a few literaries. In the church in Harrisonburg, Virginia, there were prophets, Carl Sly, Dick Blackwell, others. And while we were worshiping and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart JJ and Becca for the work to which I've called them. And so after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and they sent them off. So let's do that, church. Let's lay our hands on them and send them off. Come on up, JJ and Becca and Hudson and Eli and Ivy Page. And I'd like for leadership team at Grace, Dick, pastors, any elders that are here. Yeah, stand for now. We'll have you kneel in a moment, but you can't be crying already, Beck. Yeah. Okay. So we're gonna have some prayers over these people. As we're praying, I'd love for you to stay engaged and just say amen in your heart to what is being prayed here on the platform. And I want to honor Beck. I wish Bob and Kathy, I wish Mom and Dad were here, but in the spirit, they are. Carl and Jackie, would you come? This is JJ and Becca's mom and dad. Would you honor them for coming? Carl, at some point in my life, I hope I have the honor of doing what you're about to do. So thanks for stepping away from your church to Greater Ministries this morning, and thanks for joining with us as we anoint them and pray over them. So I know the Holy Spirit's all over you, and so you can prophesy over them, you can pray for them. Thanks. Thanks for raising up this young man for God's purposes. So you lead off, Carl, and then we'll jump in and pray.
This is truly an honor. This is fourth generation. Pastor, thank you for the honor today. Amen. Thank you, Grace Covenant. Before I prophesy, I want to pray. Father, we're so grateful, Lord. We're so grateful that this is the day that you have chosen, Father God. This is the day that you've set apart. This is the day that you appointed for Jay and Becca and this group of ministers, Father God, to step into a new realm, Father God. They're stepping into a place they've never been before, but with you, Father God, you will be with them. You will guide them. You will direct them. They'll never, ever feel like they're alone. You Amen. Will surround them with your presence, Father God, in such a supernatural way. Just as you've appointed these ministers and this body to step out, Father God, you said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And they're going to open their mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And many will come to know you as their Lord and their Savior, Father God. And Lord, we're so grateful for that, not only that you appointed them, but that you joined them together. Just as you said in the Psalms about the anointing and the oil of the anointed that flowed upon Aaron, Father God, it flowed from the head to the beard, to the shoulders, to the skirts, and you there invoked the blessing, Father God. And who God has joined together, let no man tear asunder. So as a body, they're joining together. They're going out in unity together. They're flowing together in perfect unity, Father God. We bind every lie and deception the adversary will try to speak, to try to bring division, Father God, because who God joins together, no man can tear asunder, Father God. And we're married in you, Father God. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is seeking sand. So, Father God, I thank you that you appointed them. I thank you that you adjoined them. And Father God, I thank you for the anointing of God. The anointing of God that'll flow in and through them in such a supernatural way. The east part of this county will never be the same. Father God, Lord Jesus, I see a harvest coming like never before. And we can't outgive you. As this church is sowing into the kingdom, blessings will return supernaturally. It will grow magnificently. It will expand because there's not only the east, there's the west, there's the north, and the south also, Father God. We're declaring and proclaiming every direction for the kingdom of God. So, Lord Jesus, I thank you that your hand is upon them. Father God, that you're going to carry them, that you're going to watch over them, that you're going to see them through. Father God, and may they never, ever second guess. May they never, ever doubt. They clearly heard from you, Father God. Now, Lord, you be glorified and you be magnified in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Jesus says, the Father says, as the sun rises from the east and sets at the west, I will carry you through every trial and every test. There is no storm that will rise that I will not carry you through. I'm not saying that you will not go through some trials and some pain, but one thing remains. I have ordained you this day. I have placed my hand upon you. There's a measure of anointing that's coming that you've never had before. Oh, beware as you step through this new door. I'm going to raise you to places you've never been before. So just keep your eyes upon me. When I start, I carry through. When I finish, you see. And that work I've begun in you will be seen by all others around you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
I saw a picture of you guys when you were studying for a test and you were using flashcards. And every question that came up, the back of the card said, but God can. But God can. But God can. And so I just believe that's going to be your catchphrase this year. But God can. Regardless of what comes up, regardless of what you face, regardless if it seems small or if it seems huge, but God can. But God can. The back of the card says, but God can. But God can.
You are going to a prepared place. It's prepared for you in the heavenlies because of the prayers and that you all have prayed as a group over the last month. These prayers have prepared a place in the heavenlies for you to come because there was much spiritual interference in that area of this county. But because you led these prayer meetings, you drove the enemy away. So this is why you can have the confidence that your Father said, because you are going to a prepared place. So don't fear. Just walk with confidence with you and the team.
So in 2 Timothy 3:14, Paul says to Timothy, just continue in what you've learned. And I feel like that is part of the encouragement for you. You don't have to do any major crazy new thing. Just continue in what you've been doing and God will be faithful to do the rest.
The Lord says you can't mess this up. You just can't. It wasn't your idea. It wasn't your plan. But he placed a seed in deep down and it gave fruit. And you're going to get to see the fruit. So just walk in who you are. Even you guys, you don't have to be perfect. You can't mess this up. You're going to be an absolute joy to everybody that sees you.
Come up here with me, please. Get the apostle praying over you. So the Lord has anointed you to pioneer and to plant, Dick. I'm in ministry because of you. It's amazing. Give him the microphone. He needs. Would you pray for him?
A long time ago, when I was in seminary, I was with a man who served God and his body wonderfully. And he reminded me that it's not me, not you, who builds the church, but the Lord. Yeah. It's your job only to take care of those who he brings, who are allotted to your charge. Care for them well, and you'll bless him. We anoint you this day in the name of Jesus to do the work of the ministry, to care for those who God brings you'll be touched.
Yeah.
Kids, it's not just your mom and dad going.
Yeah.
It's the whole family.
Thank you, God.
You're each called. Be who you are.
Yeah.
You're not, you don't have to be better than other kids.
That's
just
right.
Be yourself.
That's right.
But serve the Lord with gladness. God has given you a team who loves you, loves the Lord. It's His work. He will provide.
Amen. That's right.
Just be faithful.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Yeah. Amen. So, Lord, we anoint them and we commission them to lead the way. Fill them with your love. Fill them with courage and faith.
Yes.
Protect them in Jesus' name. Amen.